the opinion that quotes are dangerous and not simply valueless, but terrible impediments to your welfare unless you know the doctrine. You have got to know the doctrine, or you won't know where it fits, and I can prove it to you because Brother Branham said if you misplace scripture, you find your cow eating grass on the top of the tree. See? So, remember, the subject is the rapture. Have you got 16 hours? My wife's got to do is get the briefcase upstairs and we'll start. And we'll take you to maybe page 21 out of the 42. I'm not lying to you. I've gone over already about 21 hours. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you. I know what I'm talking about in this subject. He says the subject is the rapture. We've got some pretty brilliant people here with good solid degrees. We have amongst us even people with PhDs, highly educated. They know how to teach. Now, if I was a teacher, which I used to be, I said, class, we'll take our history book this morning. Bring me the blackboard, please. And I say, what is two and two? Say, Brother Dale, I thought it was history. Well, that's beside the point, honey. What's two and two make four? Wonderful class. Who will now tell me who engaged in the War of 1812? Somebody said, well, that's fine. Tell me, what is H2O mean? You get what I'm trying to say? Subject is subject. The subject is the rapture. So every single thing the prophet says has to do with the rapture, either pointedly or referring to it, but there is nothing out of line. Moses bringing Israel out of Egypt is rapture. The people scoffing in Peter's rapture. Psalm 27, 1-5, the Lord is my light and my deliverer. Whom shall I be afraid? Just a minute now. When mine enemies camp around me, I'll make the Lord my pavilion. He tells you, I'm going to tell you about the rapture. It's the time of the squeeze. Get ready for hard times. And then he said, now a lot of you folk won't take my avenues. He's telling them flat. You won't agree with me. He said, you'll scoff. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Just a minute now. You say, well, what is heaven? How do I know? I haven't been there. Well, it's not down, I can tell you that. Well, you say it's symbolical, it's in the dimension. Well, the disciples stood there one day, they saw him go up, and he said, why do you gaze into heaven? This same Jesus taken up in like manner will come in the same way, come in this manner, or come back in the same manner. So up is evidently up, wherever up is. He comes down. Brother Branham said, as I read last night, he comes down on earth. Now, you wonder why I get fussed up, because I have people all the time saying, well, I've been knowing he's here for 29 years or thousands. You've been knowing this and you've been knowing that he ain't here. That's what they said about Jesus. He said, I am the Messiah. Oh, no, he ain't here. Now, before you and I meet him, and we have quote after quote, just the other day hearing a tape, Brother Branham categorically said, you've got to be changed to be caught up in the air. And John says, you've got to see him as he is. And that means the apocalypse and the phanerou. You can't have a phony manifestation in the sense of a phony false prophet. And though the manifestation may be the line of the genuine gift of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, healing, and miracles, if the man is not with the word, it's out. The Lord himself. The Lord himself. The Lord himself shall descend. I was not the one that he appeared. I was only one near him when he did appear down the river. I'm not the one that gave the message, even though I'm packing it. I'm only his voice. The voice of what? The one that appeared. Who came down? Elohim. Who was Melchizedek as a theophany? Elohim. Who brought us to adulthood? Elohim. He's here. All right, now he come with a shout, the same one with the voice. Who raises the dead? God. Who takes us up? God. All those three things happen before you stand before him and enter into the wedding supper, because that spirit and God is spirit. You understand? And when that spirit that's amongst us is incarnated to us. We're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, so therefore, this question, though excellent, is out of context. And the person, I don't know who you are, but you have not been reading the rapture tape correctly. You're doing what everybody else does, and I must warn you, you are pitting quote against quote without knowing the doctrine. And when you do that, you'll go down. There's no room for faith. You must come to the definitive. Right? Because if you don't know what you stand for, you'll fall for anything. Now remember, revelation leads to preeminence. Brother Branham said, when that great one comes, it cannot be a man. For he said, I was the wrong one. He said, that one must increase, and I must decrease. Those are the words of John the Baptist. Who is the great one? You know and I know. There is no way to get around it. Jesus did not come to the Gentiles in the form of the body. Give me my Bible, please, there, Tony. Give me 20 hours. I'm talking about something else. I got people who listen to me. Preaching on the rapture the other day, and I said, I'll forget it. I said, 4 pages, 2 to go, take me 16 more hours. I said, I can't keep you here, and I won't stay here. A lady met me, never seen me before. Bride's mother stood grinning at the door, said, I just sat for 16 hours. Don't worry about her, Brian. She'll get there somehow. Maybe a whole bunch won't get there, but she will. I'm going to go to Matthew 12. Now listen. The 9th verse, he departed thence to another synagogue. Behold, there's a man which had a hand with it. They asked him, saying, gives it lawful healing the Sabbath days they might accuse him. He said, shall there be a man among you that shall have one sheep fall in the pit in the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold and lift it up? How much then is a man bearing the sheep? Wherefore is lawful to do well in the Sabbath days? If you're a nurse, a doctor, sure. So on, you know. Then said he to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth and was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him that they might destroy him. They couldn't take it. Get rid of that bird. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying. Now listen, this is the scriptural setting in the flesh, the days of his flesh, that triggers this prophecy. So get it. This prophecy. And it has to be fulfilled. Based on what you just heard, this is the background. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So it goes from the Jews to the Gentiles. Now listen. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Hogwash. You mean to tell me that when he kicked those birds out of the temple, he wasn't striving? Ha! You gotta be sick. You mean he didn't lift his voice the day he lifted his voice and cried, ho! If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. No, he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. I'll be better before I come out. You mean in the cross, he didn't utter a loud voice? Well, come on, read the Bible. Just a bunch of junk thrown in the garbage. Whoever wrote this book is an idiot. Crazy. Trying to tell me that Jesus didn't strive. Trying to tell me he didn't lift his voice so nobody could hear him. He did to the Jews, but not to the Gentiles. There wasn't one of us. Now listen, the bruised reed shall he not break. He did it to the Jews. He wiped out their worship system. The smoking flax not quenched. He killed the life in it. Gone. But when we were crumbling and going down, he said, I'll hold them and bring the life back. Now tell me. And you wonder why I raise my voice and lash out. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. They never saw him in flesh. They have a name. And now we've got that name. Yeah. Brother Branham said, if what he did to the Jews as the true Messiah was relevant and necessary, he is obligated to do the same to the Gentiles, and here he is doing it now in the Holy Spirit. Now, you people, what are you going to do? Who is doing what, and where is he doing it? Oh, Brother Dale, he's not here. You want to fight? Come stand beside me. You got guts? Come on, prove me wrong. I'll name your friends. Yep. I got friends too. I got a man sitting right here. Same man that lied about me lied about Roger. He's lying right now. So another man that was sitting here today. He said, Lee, they'll run around the world, he said, breaking churches. So Bob said, now that you said it, naming the dates and places. Let me tell you, that man came down to Carolinas and led churches back to Pentecost. You say, Brother Dale, be sweet, be nice. I'm tired of you people so sweet and so nice. Anything goes. Yeah, do what you want. You're going to anyway. Don't get your wires crossed. Read the whole tape. I'm the ball in you. I think your question's honest. It's very, very good, very legitimate. Have all three phases taken place? By no means. I haven't seen Brother Branham yet. First one up. We certainly don't have new bodies. I'm looking younger every day. Where's old Harry Lancaster? He ain't so old. Hey, boy, when I saw you the last time, you didn't look half as good as you look now. And here he's supposed to have had cancer in the meantime and everything else and fat. I think you'd eat that cancer alive, boy. You haven't done it already. Keep it up. I'm for you. I ain't for the devil. No, we don't have those bodies. Let me tell you something. Brother Branham said the cells are forming around that word in there. Well, what word, Brother Vail? The shout. And who brings the shout? Oh, I think my organization will do. Oh, William Branham brought... Oh, hogwash William Branham brought it. He was only a voice. Where was that one? Down on the river. And I see a bunch of people, all these clever people that are so vociferous against what we believe. I wonder about their intelligence. And I hear the man, he's got a little boy, and he's climbed the ladder. And he said, Johnny, come down. And Johnny says, I'm down. He says, yes, I notice you are. Okay, bud? Not your kid and mine. Get down, you're not down. Come on! With all the tripe and hogwash I'm taking, I met guys last night, four square, and I mean it today, four square. Now that I'm up, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, explain exactly what I explained last night, why I'm not having any more meetings like these. For the simple reason, it's very, very simple. Most of the time when I leave home, I'm in the realm of a certain area of thinking. And if I leave there, I automatically begin to prepare for messages that I feel might be beneficial and helpful to somebody else, because I cannot deliver you 32 hours and 40 hours of preaching in 45 minutes or 2.5 hours. I can't do it. I'm not a genius. A genius would do it, but I'm not a genius. I'm very stupid, ignorant, and so on. When I break my thought, it's hard to get back to it. Now, I'm not trying to copy Brother Branham, because you know me better than that. I don't look like him. I don't act like him. I don't smell like him. I don't walk like him. I don't hunt like him. There's nothing. He and I are so vastly different. When I was with him, I wouldn't even let my name appear on the billboard with him, because I said, I ain't fit. I do have pretty good hands, so I carry his grips and try to do a little thing like that. I'm 64 in Tampa. He told me this. He said, Brother Vail, he said, I need men around me who will not talk to me very much, who just let me go about my work. They'll take care of the books. They'll take care of the business, because all my thoughts are of God. And he said, if anybody breaks my thinking, even my daughter or my wife, I might not get it back for 1 month. That's a prophet. Now, I'm not a prophet, so where does it put me? I break my thinking. It's very, very hard to get back. I come to a meeting. Not only is that against me, I've got to recollect myself. You know I spend myself for you. My throat can be gone, everything gone. I'll stay up and do everything I can for you. And it's usually for the people who don't give a rip. They only pester me and bug me. But I got to put up there because they're genuine. I go home tired because I'm working on my nerves. Now, I don't have to feel sorry for them because I'm just telling you the condition. Don't worry. I'm doing just fine because the Lord is my strength. But I'm just letting you know these things. Thirdly, always in the meeting, there is somebody going to pray or do something else that goes right against what I am doing because they don't know what I'm doing. I'm not hitting people. I don't care about any one of you what you do. Be my guest. Do what you want. If you want to fornicate, don't include me or my wife. If you want to drink booze, be my guest. Just don't include me. I'm not a social drinker. If you want to rob a bank, go ahead. I don't have to. God is my bank. If you want to tell lies, that's wonderful. Sit down and join the Ananias Club. I don't believe in it. You can think and well do what you want, or jolly well or lovingly do what you want. Leave me out of it. That's fine, see. So what you do is your business. But I'm going to tell you, when I preach, I do not preach against people, though I can name names. I preach against what is being done as a principle according to this word. And I have seen what is going on. I have looked down the road and heard what men preach, and I have absolutely predicted by the nature of what was being said, by what was being said in churches, which would lead preachers to go to other men's wives and molest them. And it has been done. And when men leave their wives or preachers and get into sin, I have seen it done. You're not a fool. I'm not a fool. When I stand up here and lower the boom, as it were, and then somebody comes around and tries to pray some kind of a spirit, and right away it's the same thing we see in these quote, 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 and brings the spirit in. So I'm trying to pull some deal on you. Well, forget it. I'm not pulling any deal on anybody, and I'm not going anywhere anymore if I can help it. And I'm a bit peevish. You knew I was upset, and I'm telling you frankly why. I determined last night he's very sweet and very kind and very nice. But by the time a spirit got in here to make you people think, oh, hell, we must be very nice. And I've seen these very nice guys. They don't put the church in order. They tell lies. They defraud widows. They pull everything in the book. And I'm supposed to be a dirty, evil, wicked guy doing things because I cut and I slash because of condition. Now, if you don't want it, fine. And I'm getting out of everybody's hair. I'm not mad at anybody, but I can only take so much. And I've taken it. And God has blessed me by staying home. And I've prepared maybe to start over on the road again, because I started meetings like this, and far as I'm concerned, no. Now, somebody wants one. I'm not against coming and preaching to people, but I'm going to preach at home. Now, I don't have to be on the road anymore. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If I've got something to help you with, I don't want to deprive you. But there's only one meeting that I can handle from now on, which is a little 3-day meeting like up in Columbus from my own hometown. And I will be responsible for every single thing said and how it is said. And every single prayer and what it means. Because I'm not going to have anybody anymore, as far as I'm concerned, praying to the public as the Lord praying to God. Brother Branham himself said, you watch a man pray. He will pray different in his closet and does in the pulpit. My prayers are very, very close in the closet and in his pulpit. And I'm not boasting. But I want you to know, brother, sister, I don't consider I've been a football or abused or anything else. But look, I'm a minister. And if you want to carry my ball, carry my ball. I'm glad to let you do. I've got no trouble there. But I want this understood. There isn't anybody going to interfere with my ministry. Period, period, period. I will answer to God because I've got you. See? Now this is, I'm not going to answer for you and you for me. But that's what I said last night. It just got to the point. Well, what's the use? Now, again, I say I'm not angry. I have been disturbed because I've had just far, far too much of it. And when it comes to a place, I feel like I'm happy to be home. I'm just going to be home. I know it went over like a lead balloon, but you don't need to worry. Brother Bob understands, and Roger understands. And it wasn't going to create a bad spirit amongst anybody, because you laid on all the veil. If you think I'm thin-skinned, I am. Didn't think I'd say that, did you? Surprised. I'm truthful. But if you want to follow my trail, go ahead. And if you think my sort of meanness that I've got rubs off on our people, I invite every single one of you at my expense, a few at a time, to come to my town. And you're going to see people that my so-called rotten spirit has not rubbed off on. You're going to see the sweetest, gentlest people that believe this word, hospitable and kind. And nobody understands how all the young people love me. We've got young people in our church. And the little kids are my best friends because they're the stupidest of all. So I'll stand on my record and anything else. But I want you to know this one thing. I've came to this meeting fully prepared to the best of my ability to do things. I appreciate everybody, love everybody, as far as I know what love is. But a lot of people don't know what love is. They think the love amongst brethren is to let the Canaanites who distort the word of God and worship according to folly and Satan, that I'm supposed to put my arms around and join in it. Brother, sister, if I know the word of God, you are wrong and I am right. Now, if you want to do it, do it. But don't come around me. And the only safeguard I've got, I'm going to stay by myself if I have to. And you say, Brother Dave, you're kind of raunchy. I never said it wasn't. You just missed the one thing. I'm not just kind of. Now I'm getting my bad spirit in the brother Rungan. I hit him with a 4x4 to show him 11. No bad spirit. My brother Rungan understands very thoroughly, but just let you know this. I got any more questions? Seeing them up here? Give me the questions. I'll see if I can answer. I kind of got Bob sitting down there. Okay, we got another one. Okay. All right, the resurrects the dead is the very man that died and turned to dust the same that will rise in crupper. Brother Branham categorically said, he said, look, he said, if this book falls down and comes up a piece of paper, that's not resurrection. Resurrection, man goes down, comes up. But remember, he comes up glorified. Hallelujah. Yep, he will rise incorruptible. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And the first verse there, Brother Branham explained that, is concerning our theophanies, my dear brother and my sister. Don't get mixed up with the other people who are fundamentalists. They don't understand this. He said, for we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle is all, we have a building of God, a house made with hands, not made with hands in heaven. That's your theophany. Brother Branham, the word theophany is not really true. It's your spiritual house. Theophany means theo, which is God, phanero, to prove and show it is God, manifest. But it does in a way. It's the best word Brother Branham can use. I concur with him heartily. You know what it is? It is something that God himself has eternally had there, which is like that Logos. And you stepped into it. You do not leave here, flotsam and jetsam. He said, I used to think, he said, maybe a little like a little cloud floating around without hands and say, hi, Brother Neville, another cloud floating by. And he said, oh, you don't know what this vision did. And he realized he would step into a body, that theophonic body, let's call it that, and he'd hug and they'd just embrace and have a wonderful time with no ulterior feelings or motives. All love and beautiful honey right there, see? Beautiful. Now, it also says here, what was that question there? Oh, yeah, I wasn't in the question, but I want to answer, put this before you. But this is very strange. I don't understand this. I thought myself when the dead one with their theophanies come back here and pick up their frames that are out of dust, remolded. Brother Branham said God will create again, not by sex, but by creation from the cosmic rays and the ashes and the petroleum and so on, the calcium. He will form again, create that body. It'll be you. It'll look like you. Absolutely. Just like your theophany will, see? But it's going to be brand new. It'll never perish. All right, now listen. When those people come down here to pick up your bodies, the strange thing, and I don't question it because I believe the prophet, we do not pick up ours. We rise and it picks us up. No problem. I just had to rejuggle my thoughts on that one. But no problem. If the prophet said it, hallelujah. Any more questions? Oh, where did the prophet say that Cain offered first fruits in the message? Well, let's find out. You get out of the word here. Because you see, a first fruit offering is that fruit of the ground. Cain, he offered unto God. Okay, let's not turn up back here. Process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. That's what it was. It had to be. Because you see, there's got to be blood before there's a first fruit offering. Now here's what God said. If thou doest well, shouldst thou not be exempted. That's not the Septuagint said, thou hast offered right. But since thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? The sin offering lieth at the door, and the animal is there waiting for you to do it. This man would not offer blood, but what he did was according to Scripture, but not in line with Scripture. And this is proven by the Hebrews 11. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, if Abel's sacrifice was more excellent, then Cain's was excellent. And so, therefore, you know as well as I do, it is absolutely a fruit offering. It's a first fruit offering. And he was saying, I can make the resurrection without the blood. I'm going to get there and be immortal. And it wouldn't work. As Brother Branham said, this proves serpent seed, because you know how birth is connected with blood and so on. Now, I can't put you in any one specific place where Brother Branham identified it as first fruit at this particular time. I wouldn't be able to give you a quote. On page 22, Fahrenheit, the rapture, the prophet said the seventh church age typing with Enoch. That's exactly right. In other words, that's when the rapture takes place in the seventh church age. Now, there's no doubt we're in the seventh church age. We all know that. Do you, brethren, believe that we're still in this dispensation? Well, certainly we're in the seventh church age. In the particular sense that we haven't got out of here, and it's the seventh church age that these things are happening. Remember, we're under seal. Now, as far as dispensations are concerning, you don't get them mixed up with seven church ages. Because dispensation, Brother Branham was a dispensationist in the understanding of how God was manifesting himself. He was a dispensation as far as the pillar of fire was concerned, which was Father. And then when the same thing became flesh, it was the Son, and the Father and Son were together. Then when the Holy Ghost came back, it was the dispensation of the Son of God. And now again, we find a short dispensation of the Son of Man. Now there's supposed to be a dispensation of the Son of David coming on. It's a manifestation of Almighty God. Don't get it mixed up with these other things. Your terminology seems to indicate there's some misunderstanding so that your interplay on words confuses you. Now it's just like somebody said, well, is the blood on the mercy seat? I said, that's just a minute. If the blood is on the mercy seat, what does it matter if you're not in the light? And if the blood is off the mercy seat and you are in the light, it proves that you're already in. Because you wouldn't be... How could you possibly get the Holy Ghost out the blood anyway? So, do you believe we're still in this dispensation? Well, now you see, you say dispensation and church age. Where do you find that they're interchangeable? Where does it say dispensation 1, dispensation 2, dispensation 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? It says church ages. So you see, your terminology is completely wrong. You're going to have to rethink your question here. The mighty angel in Revelation 10, one foot on earth and one on sea. See, page 72. Do you believe this happened already to the Jews? No, not to the Jews. Now, I know there's a quote concerning that somewhere in one of the older tapes concerning Brother Branham mentioning that. And so, unless I went back to that, I couldn't tell you that. But Brother Branham categorically says this, that angel that came down was on earth when the seventh church age messenger was down there, and he indicated himself. So therefore, if there is going to be a dual or a double application to this, then that is fine by me, to the Jews or not to the Jews. That doesn't bother me one little bit. The point is he down here for me? See? The mighty one that came down. So he did tell us that that one would be on earth at the time of the Gentiles. And he said that was the time the seventh seal would open, because he said the seventh seal was Revelation 10, 1 to 7. And categorically, it had to do with the Gentile prophet. Now, if this transfers, and no doubt it could transfer, because I'm not familiar anymore with that obscure quote, because there is one there, but I can't remember, and I wouldn't have the least idea unless it got to the context of it. If this is the same one that is remaining here for the Jews, it could be possible. But remember, as far as I understand Scripture, this one that brings the shout and the voice and the trumpet goes up with us. And then Brother Branham says he appears to the Jews in a symbol. See? And also the fact is he shows himself to his brethren, and they say, well, it looks like, but I sure hope it's not. And they get scared. Well, he said, don't worry about that. He said, this was necessary. See? So I wouldn't know where your question ran in continuity. I wish I could help you more, but there's nothing I could say about that until I'd referred to the old. There is, I believe, an obscure passage there. It's just like Brother Branham made a double reference to over there in Revelation. I believe it's the 7th chapter. And many people get all very unhappy because the Church Age book says one thing, and they find Brother Branham says another thing, but I got the actual places where he said the other. But the Church Age book shows it says identically. You say, could it be a compound meaning? That's very fine. I don't know. I can't tell you. And I got to be honest because I simply don't know. Right at this point, all I know is that my understanding of Scripture, and I say, you do what you want. Because it's perfectly fine by me. I'm not here to argue with anybody, to be an authority. My understanding of Scripture is that one that came down positively came with a shout. He appeared on the river. He's coming more and more to the church, identifying himself, gaining favor with the people. And he did gain favor with the people until he revealed who he was. And the minute he said who he was, goodbye. Jesus gained favor because he did the miracles. He said, for what miracles do you stone me? He said, no, not for a good work at all. In fact, we like the fact that you can take those loaves and fishes. In fact, if we could whip you into shape and you could whip us into shape, we could whip the Romans together. Well, why don't you like me? Well, because of what you said. Because of who you said you are. And we know you're not. Because he's not here. We said, you're looking at him. Oh, no. No, you're not here. Now, Brother Branham said he's brought into plain view. He said the sword in the hand of a skillful swordsman ripped the absolutely asunder, the curtains that held the holy of holies of the creeds and the dogmas were slashed down and we beheld him in full view. He's in plain view, brothers and sisters. And people say, well, you're not here. Well, you see, Brother Dale, I know what you're doing. You're using every argument in the book and out of the book for your point of view. What do you think I do? I'm not with the rest of the liars. I'm hitting hard. You bet I'm hitting hard. Because I'm not lying. I'm not telling you lies up here. I'm not lying out there in the street either. Come and check my record. I challenge you. I invite you. I got nothing to hide except my evil deeds. Just kidding, of course. I don't want to wake you up. Okay. You're taking a lot of time as it is. It's what, getting on to 4 o'clock. Well, because we're in the 7th church age, it would be. If it happened in the 6th church age, under the 6th church age, that would be not a part of the age specifically, but would be under that particular time, like it's under the 7th seal. You've got 7 ages, but the 7 seals do not run concurrently with the 7th seal. You've got 4 seals that run the length of the 7 church ages, according to Brother Branham on the Gentiles, right? Well, within that, when he went back, he became Son of God. And what people didn't realize, that would change where he would manifest himself as Son of Man. And the Son of Man was revealed. But that did not take away the element of the fact of the Son of God, the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Because what he said was, he said, I am not he, the pillar of fire is not he. He's talking to the Son of Man. He says this is the form of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can see Holy Spirit. We saw ministry. And when the Son of Man was revealed, he was revealed by human flesh and inhuman flesh. And we knew it was he because of the deeds that he did. The same one risen. Now we can't see a pillar of fire. But that's happened in this hour of the 7th church age. And I don't know that I would not say that the 7th church age is over. I wouldn't say that. And then again, with the 7th church age's end, you have the fullness of the Gentiles. And we're not yet to the fullness of Gentiles as far as we know. And after the fullness, there comes the end of the times of the Gentiles when Jerusalem is fully restored. Of course, you could put that now with, I think most scholars do, the historical and geographical context there, that that Jerusalem's no longer trodden down to the Gentiles. So the two of them run pretty well concurrently there. You have all these changes. But in my understanding, when Brother Branham spoke of dispensation of the Father, dispensation of the Son, so this would be dispensation of Son of Man. The only thing I can see in it. But it is under our period, church ages. To me, it certainly did, because this is the seventh church age. Now, there are those who take exception to this thought. And that is, they say, this seventh church age are Laodicea, and I am not in Laodicea, so therefore I'm not in the seventh church age. Well, to me, that's merely the bandying of words. I see that would neither condemn me or exalt me to anything as far as I'm concerned, because I recognize the hour in which I live, which is the hour of his visitation, what he is doing under that seventh seal, which came during the seventh church age to bring us out in liberty. Again, we're looking at days. Brother Branham said the seventh day, we're going to an eighth. Some people say we're in the eighth day. I cannot buy that. I believe we're being ushered into it. But I would say concerning those various terms, that to me at this point, it's more a matter, almost a semantics, more than just a matter of, yet it's not just that. It's a matter of truth, showing forth what God is to his people. Like, for instance, at this particular time, that God has revealed himself as the Son of Man, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost is a true revelation. And that baptism with the Holy Ghost from that point on says amen to every word that the prophet has brought. Then positively, you can see that we are into that particular dispensation of the Son of Man. But we cannot forget the fact that Brother Branham laid hands on people and said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? See, that's again, you got the Son of God. He came back as Son of God. So I'm not prone to take these words and make a fine point of them, as though my doctrine existed for that. I recognize the Son of Man, and that I recognize the days of the Son of Man. I recognize the fact that, where did Brother Branham get that? I'll tell you where he got this over here about the Son of God. He said, concerning the Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God of power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And it tells you right there, then the same Spirit that was in him when he was in flesh as the Son of David, the Son of David had mercy on him. He came back to the Gentiles as the Son of God. And we know him as the Son of God. But the days of the Son of Man repeat. During what time? During the days of the Son of God. That doesn't make any problem. Because Brother Branham said, here's the prophet, here's the pillar of fire, and now the Son of Man is here for him. See, there's no problem there, because we're just looking at it. I think that was Brother Evans or something, man, that owned the used car lot. Brother Branham mentions his brother that was in the business of used cars, and he got to know him, and he began talking with him, and after being in many meetings, the brother began saying to him, he said, oh, Brother Branham, I'm confused as to whether I'm born again or what I have anyway. Well, he said, but why didn't you talk about it and tell me your story? Well, he said, my wife used to go to meetings, and I let her go, and it was nice that she went, and I didn't mind at all. But I had my drinking and my smoking and my ways, and it was fine for me, for her. You know, she didn't bother me, and I didn't bother her, because I let her go ahead, and she didn't have the influence on me at that time, so I just let her go on. Well, he said he picked up a book one time, began reading in the book, as I recall, and then he began going to meetings and looking around. He went to Pentecostal meetings, he went to Baptist meetings, and just that meetings and other things. And I believe during the time he was reading the book, that suddenly he found that who needed to smoke? Who needed to curse? And who needed anything? And he found that he was quite a different person. And so he heard about the Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The interest began to revive again. He went around looking, but he said, they told me to this. He said, it didn't satisfy. He said, they said this and that didn't satisfy. He said, this and that didn't satisfy. He said, I just couldn't find any satisfaction. And he said, I'm still unsatisfied. He said, I really don't know. What is it all about? Brother Band said, well, tell me. He said, when was that time that you talk about that you were different? And he told him the time that he did. He said, that's the time that you received the Holy Ghost. Now, here's a man that evidently didn't know what had happened, but it fell in the category that a woman cannot have a baby without knowing unless she's comatose or in a comatose state or under some kind of a drug. But the thing is this, he said, you know that. Even though there isn't the sensations and all those various formulas that people go through. And so now here was a man who was believing in Brother Branham, who saw the truth in the message, and he was wondering, did he ever receive the Holy Ghost? Is there anything I can look back on? And Brother Branham took him back to that time that would be least relevant in his mind as to indicate that really he had received something of this dynamic proportion, because all he could remember was having, as I believe the story is right or what I recall, that he read the book for some tract, and after that, well, where was the smoking gone? Where was the drinking gone? Where was the desire gone? Where was it? And Brother Brand said, that was that thing. Now, there's no doubt the prophet could not have said that had the man not been fully inclined toward the Word of God. See, if you've got the Holy Ghost, he said, how in the world can you be full of the Holy Ghost and not say amen to every word? And they'd say, well, William Branham, that's just you. Well, it wasn't William Branham. See, this is the thing that people, it's hard to understand, but he said, when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, and this Bible opened before me, the Word of God. And people then wonder, they don't even begin to think and say, well, as ever he did? How did God set up a pattern in his Word that we are conversant with that makes us to know that God has stood before groups of men and expressed himself, declared himself? See, now, when was that anyway? Mount Sinai? That could have been it. No. He didn't talk to anybody except Moses. Well, let's see. Did he appear to all the Jews and talk in the days of Isaiah? No. 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 He talked to Isaiah. Well, now, well, what about the time of Jeremiah? Did God appear before groups of men? Not that I recall, they say. But he did. When Moses was there, God appeared and declared himself. I say, I'm getting close to idolatry. That's what the Jews said. This man makes himself God. Kill him. Idolatry. I sure would like to kill Brother Brandon. So when you see God descend from the heavens, stand before groups of men and declare himself as ever he did, that tells you that's Hebrews 1:1-2. God in various ways and in different manners gave a portion of the word to the people as God was in the prophets. Okay? So there you have it. Okay. Lord bless you. I trust the unexplainable has been explained. The unknown is now made known. Shall we close? Let's rise.
Let me say this, and I mean it from the depth of my heart, and then I still say it. Brother Vail reminds me more of the Apostle Paul. Amen. And I've studied a lot in the life of the Apostle Paul by the standard works on him, Coney Barenhausen. You really get a picture of his personality, why he's even got the hooked nose Paul had. He's small like Paul. Paul was a prophet's interpreter. You know that? Do you know that? Paul interpreted Jesus the prophet. And I'm not a personality worshiper. Never have been, but this is a chosen vessel. And a lot of preparation, he's gone through a whole lot. Now, I don't know about what he says, he's not going to hold meetings this way and that and the other. That's all right, we all feel that way. Last night, I should have had another person come up and pray immediately. I didn't know that was going to happen that way, because that wasn't a prayer. Now, don't let that go over your head. You see? But I believe in ignorance a man did what he did. But maybe not so much ignorance either. But anyway, maybe the Lord told him to say that so that you would understand what the enemy's like. You know, the enemy can use good people. You know, Peter said something once and Jesus said, Satan, depart from me. It came out of the mouth of Peter, isn't that right? So you got to look at it in a wise sense, but it was still the enemy. Now that should be an education for us. That should be an eye-opener for us. You see? And Peter was a good man, in a way, excepting that moment. He was the voice of the devil. You understand? And we can be the same thing. We're not careful. We have to always be careful to walk and tread very softly. And I guess the main thing to do is keep our mouth shut and our ears open. And we have to be very, very careful. Brother Brown, come here and dismiss us, will you?